Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today we're going to go into part two of our two-part interview with John Meacham about the soon return of Jesus and how the Lord has shown him he needs to be in Galilee on September 19th, 2022. He's not pinpointing that that's the day Jesus returns. It's just a place he needs to be, and he's going to be explaining how some pastors, they just don't want to talk to him at all. So let's jump back into the interview.
This one church I went to, and I think you and I had never talked about this on the air, but you knew it happened. This one church that I went to, I was sitting in the back of the church because, you know, the Holy Spirit usually enters in when I'm in church, and I sing real loud, so I try not to disturb other worshipers, and right behind me was their recording group. You know, this was one of those, and I think of you often, this was one of these churches where they turn the lights down and all that stuff, and, you know, they have the high-tech production group at the back, and one of the guys in the group who sat right behind me, his name was John, and we got to be friends and everything, and I gave him one of my push cards. Well, he went to my website, showed their pastor, who I'd also given push cards, and he got all upset. He came to my apartment and accused me of being an emissary of Satan. Is my message a message from Satan?
No. And actually, that was the next question I was going to ask you about, because I think we talked about how you had reached out to a pastor and asked him to, you know, sit down and discuss his opinions, and you'd share the Bible and the scriptures and stack up what the Bible says.
This is the guy.
Positions. Okay.
This is the guy.
How did that work out? How did that ever turn out?
Well, he asked me not to come back to the church. So, I mean, you know, I honored his request. I didn't go back. But a week or so later, I was out eating, and I saw John. And John came up, and, you know, the guy had given the card to him. He says, "Oh, I've missed you so much at church." And I said, "Well, Marty told me not to come back." He said, "Why did he say that?" He said, "You were upset." I wasn't upset, John, the guy gave the card to. I just wanted him to know that you had passed these cards out. I thought it was important that he know that, you know, we have someone who claims at a level of communication with the Lord that maybe we need to pay attention to. I said, that isn't what he told me. He told me you were upset and told me not to come back again.
And I think, didn't you try and set up like another sit-down session with him to discuss things and stuff? But did he never responded?
He wouldn't come. Yeah. He's still on my email list. I'd probably box it when it comes there, deletes it immediately. He and the other pastors at that church. But they don't want to hear about this. I mean, one pastor who had been a pastor of mine since 1993, this guy, Pastor Bob, this guy knows everything good and bad about me, all of it. I mean, all of it. And he was one of the first people I told about the dazzling light, about hearing God speak from a cloud, about dreams of the second coming and all of that. So he comes out. And we go through all of it again because I needed to start sharing my story with people. And we get to the part where I said, "I'm John." And it's like intellectually, Bob, he just flipped off. His brain just stopped. I mean, he knew and understood all the dreams, all the visions, all the everything. And he could see logically that it progressed to this. But he says, "No, you're not." He says, "None of this is going to happen." I mean, it's like they're in this fog that they can't come out of. It's like there's a fog over their eyes. I used to be concerned about the results. I think, as you know, my primary business, my career, AKA, was John the Accountant. I was a CPA and accountant for my entire career. When I was born again, I became a pastor, too. Fortunately, now, the only work I'm doing is the work for Christ in the word world. But, but in that framework, I'm obsessed with results. You know, it's just my nature. And the Lord keeps telling me over and over and over again, says, "John, there's only one result you need to be concerned about. did you do what you were told to do?
That's it.
If I told you to send 7 emails today and do 12 tweets, did you do them? That's the only result you've got to worry about.
Yep.
And Bob, I'm going to tell you what the message I've been getting is, and this is really kind of scary, and I don't have this in my notes to talk about. So this is, you're bringing this out. The Spirit's bringing this out in response to your questions. The only biblical comparison I can see of today in Bible times, in this country, I can't speak for other countries, is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The Lord keeps telling me, find me one good person, and I won't destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yep. Even the politicians. I mean, they're pushing the immorality and saying we should all allow it because that's, you know, people are who they are. You know, I mean, that when people think about the things that you're talking about, and some of which are the appearing, I mean, we see things that was talked about in the Bible happening almost every night on the news in this nation.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are the things you're talking about and the things the Bible's talking about and the things we're seeing, is that all just one big coincidence?
Can we go into my email for the day?
Sure.
Because that's part of my email, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, and I'll share with your listeners, I sent an email every day, and today's email was titled Jesus' Second Coming with my website reference at the top. And I'll read the first paragraph. It says, the advent of Jesus' return on his birthday draws near, and Christ now calls Christians everywhere to be ready. Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. And you too must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you're not expecting him. And this is from towards the end of Luke chapter 12, and it's in the sequences of verses 35 through 40. I think here, Bob, it's where we need to break away from the world and be the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is going in a horrific direction, as you well know, and the church needs to focus on messages like these and prepare for Jesus' return. Even if it doesn't happen on 9/19/22, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We need to turn away from Satan and the world and turn towards heaven and Jesus Christ. And when I look at this passage, this is actually the opening passage on my website, one thing really stands out real clear. The most important, for me, the most significant word to speak to our generation of the church, not as Americans, but as the church, is the word awake. We need to wake up.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Because we're looking at a physical entity that's focused on payroll, pensions, and property, when what we should be focused on, we need to awake to the spiritual presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and then we need to do what three times in this short passage, they say one word, ready.
Mm.
We've got to get ready.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, there's no doubt that the church, especially the American church in particular, needs a revival. But there needs to be more than that. There needs to be a third great awakening in America. Now, how is your ministry
a spiritual revival of the people in the churches?
Yeah, exactly.
A spiritual revival of the people in the churches.
Yep, yep.
So I mean,
how is your ministry trying to affect that and answer that call?
Me? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm the heavenly church. That's all that's about.
Amen.
Is trying to get an awakening, a spiritual awakening in the churches. And, you know, I go on to say, brothers and sisters, the unexpected hour of Jesus' second coming draws near. I say this because as Jesus foretold in John 21:22, when he said to Peter about John, if I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. I am John. I am living now, and I am returning to Galilee. to await Jesus' return on his birthday, 9/19/22. But then the email flows right into these. It says, to the 439 Christian media representatives and church pastors on my email list, as I am sure you can see, today is the day of Advent, Jesus' birth and Jesus' return, and I am sure many, if not all of you, find these messages far off the beaten path of today's Christianity. However, I want you to consider three questions and ponder them today. And we've talked a little bit about the first. Are these messages coincidental or providential?
Amen.
Do you think it's just a coincidence somebody's trying to wake the church up to seven messages from Jesus Christ, or do you think it's an act of God? I'm asking you. Yeah. Do you think it's a coincidence, or do you think it's
God
providence?
God is definitely trying to get the church's attention. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's not just me. Mm-hmm. It's other people are trying, but there's so few of us, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at first when I was doing Twitter, I said, gosh, look at all of these. You know, it's got a huge Christian community. But then I spent some time looking at the tweets. My stuff doesn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still trying to say, we could. Oh, there's one. It's horrible, Bob. It's just horrible. And I'm even going to name the publication doing it, Christianity Today, mm-hmm. which is on my list to send my tweets to each day. They're doing a whole thing now about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
They've got what they call the suicide church. Where on earth did they come up with that?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it is freaky.
Mm.
I mean, why? I mean, we need to minister to people that are having depression and anxiety, but why on earth do we need to promote something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. I agree. Man. Now, you're preparing to return to the Sea of Galilee, September 19, 2022.
Yes.
What kind of preparations are you making?
This, what I'm doing right now, doing interviews,
yeah, okay.
Sending emails, sending tweets, trying to, I'm going to church today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mass today. I've got one of the people on my list that I communicate with is the director of communications for the Diocese of Raleigh, which is where I live. And we've talked on the phone, we've emailed, we do Twitter. I asked him to join me in mass today and let's meet face to face. I mean,
amen.
You know, what little I can do as, an unknown obscurity, I'm going to keep doing it. But if anything has to happen that would change the church, because the church has to change first.
Amen.
We can't expect the world to change if the church doesn't change. We can't
mm-hmm.
expect,
yeah.
we can't invite people to come in and share the gospel with them. And, oh, one of the things on Twitter today, and it really bothered me, is Ann Graham Lotz, who lives in the same city I do, Billy Graham's daughter,
mm-hmm.
who at his funeral preached a wonderful message, and she shared that her dad shared the gospel with the entire world, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
The biblical prophecy about taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth, Billy Graham, by himself, fulfilled that prophecy. And she then said, and what's happening now is my dad's passing will be one of the triggers for the second coming. And she's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to communicate with her. I've been trying to get her attention, she and her brother both. And, you know, he lives in Boone. He's Samaritan's Purse, has a wonderful ministry. He just does all kinds of good things. She writes good books. Her most recent book is called Jesus and Me, and it really seems to have a spiritual blessing for everybody. But on her Twitter page today, they're advertising she's going to be at this thing in Atlanta and how much the tickets are to come see her. Her daddy would roll over in his grave
yeah.
if he knew she was charging tickets
yeah.
to hear her speak.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
yep.
when has that become acceptable?
Yeah.
When has that become normal? You know, it's like the second question here in the email, are these calls for church revival, which is what I'm calling for, the heavenly church revival, is it bogus or is it real?
No.
Do you think the Lord is calling the church to a revival?
Absolutely. I mean, we've slipped so far down, we can't recognize the need. I'm talking about society. You know,
we don't even see it.
Right, exactly.
People don't even see it.
Yep.
It's like, you know, the old saying, the deer in the headlights. You
yep.
tell them, you know, the church is without Jesus anymore. The church is being led by Satan. It's going in the wrong direction. And this glassy looks come over their eyes.
Yeah.
And they can't see it.
And some pastors actually get offended because you're talking about...
And some pastors will even throw you out of the church because you get saying that stuff.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
It's not the only church I've been thrown out of because I preach this kind of gospel.
Yeah. Well, I've experienced it myself, brother. So,
you know. Oh, I know you have. That's why it's so wonderful to talk to you. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, and you're preaching to the choir too. I mean,
amen. Now, I have to ask. Okay, the scripture that you probably had it quoted at you several times, Matthew 24:36, where Jesus said, "Of that day and hour, no man knows, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." How do you state your position with that scripture about September?
Well, actually, let me read you this email.
Right.
I got that very question yesterday. Okay,
all right.
And let me read you my response to the guy, and he was sincere. And everybody that I found that says it's sincere, and I don't have any, you know, I don't have any qualms with that. This was from VRM Radio. I don't remember what city they're in. But this is what I said, because he said it as a warning, and I said, "Thanks for your warning. If you will note my words, I say that I am returning to Galilee to await," and I got "await" in all caps, "Jesus' return on his birthday, 9/19/22. In other words, my instructions from the Lord are to be there waiting at the earth and stone stage. See picture below. I actually put a picture of the earth and stone stage in Galilee in the email. But, as you noted, only God knows if Jesus will return that day or not. And then I find it, Christ be with you, John.
Okay. And what did he say about that?
Oh, it was like all of them. He didn't reply. He didn't say anything. I guess it answered his question. But that's what I tell them all. Mm-hmm. I tell them, only God knows if Jesus or not.
Yeah.
All I know is, and you and I have talked about our mutual friend, Helen, who's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Helen calls me the most obedient Christian she ever met.
Amen.
Or ever talked to. Because if God tells me to be somewhere at a certain time and a certain day waiting for something to happen, I'm going to be there whether it happens or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was there in 2005, January 25th, 2005, I thought it might happen that day. So I go to the Earth and Stone stage. I parked my car facing the stage. I was told to be there at 6:20 p.m. Well, at that time, a furious windstorm came inside the car. It wasn't blowing outside, just in the car. And then I started reading. Then I saw heaven open. And all of a sudden, the moon, which was in the eastern sky, moves over to the northern sky. A vision. The moon's now in the northern sky because it's in January, January the 25th. I'm reading my theme passage, then I saw heaven open. There was a white horse, and its rider is called Faithful and True. The wind is blowing inside the car, and I read on, and then at 6:21, my alarm sounds on my wristwatch. I never said it. I didn't even know the watch had an alarm. And it rang for 19 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it's time to go home. Jesus isn't coming now. But he's sending me with a message to go back out into the world to call for a heavenly church revival.
Amen. Amen.
And as I left Galilee that day, driving down the eastern shore, I prayed those words I pray every day, Christ in me, Christ in the world.
Amen. Amen. Now, I believe that. And like I say, we just have to be obedient with what he tells us to do.
That's all we can control.
Exactly.
I can't control what you think, what you believe, or what anybody else believes. I can only control my obedience to the Lord.
Amen.
And I have to live with the consequences of my disobedience.
Yep. Amen.
But I have to, if he tells me to do something, it's like, you know, I still go to bed at night. Do I have to do this again tomorrow? And I still wake up in the morning. Yes, you do.
Amen. As I was stated, you know,
this is not something anybody wants to hear, Bob. Nobody wants to hear this stuff. Nobody.
They would want to hear it when the clouds part and the heavens are open and they actually physically see Jesus return. They won't want to hear it then either.
Oh, I've even got a plan that, you know, because the moon was in the northern sky and the Lord has told me since then where to be standing on the earth and stone stage and to look north. Mm-hmm. And you know, if he's coming, I'll see him in the northern sky. Yeah, I don't know if you remember all of the thing about the dazzling light.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the northern sky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've got a plan for that. I'm going to take a videographer with me. And if he does come, I'm going to tell him, start filming when you see him, and then we'll get around all the curvature of the earth stuff, and we can put it out live on YouTube, mm-hmm. and it'll happen right now, and everybody will see it. I'm going to ask the folks from the Church of the Multiplication of Loaves and Fishes to send somebody with me, and this is something I really don't want to do, but I keep getting the message to do it. I'm going to go by the Jewish synagogue in Tiberias and ask them, will y'all send somebody? You just have to come stay from 3 to 4 this afternoon, and just if he comes, I want somebody, a physical representative from the local Jewish synagogue to be there.
Yeah.
Because not only, Bob, does the Christian church need to come together, the Jews and the Christians need to be as one under Yeshua the Messiah.
Amen.
Because another message I've gotten is when he returns, he does not want to be called Jesus. He wants to be called Yeshua.
That's right.
Which is what everybody called him when he was walking the earth.
Right, that's his name. Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jesus is an English derivative of the Greek Joshua.
Yep.
But it's not his name. His name is Yeshua. And he wants to be known as Yeshua the Messiah when he returns.
Yeah, amen. It'd be like, calling someone from Mexico Jesus when his name is Jesus. You know,
Jesus. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So now I've been stating, and we talked about this some time now, that almost every single night on the evening news, we see what is being referred to as a convergence of Bible prophecy happening right before our eyes. And I do believe the soon return of Jesus is not only near, but it's needful in this society. And when people are speaking out like you are, the society, our culture today, doesn't want to hear it because that means they realize that they have put their priorities in the wrong place. And that means they're in error. And if they're in error, they're in sin. If they're in sin, well, that means if what you're saying is true and what I'm saying is true, what other preachers are saying is true, that means they're in trouble. And they don't want to be facing what the reality is of what their eternal destiny is going to be unless they repent and receive Jesus as their Savior. And that means it goes against their lifestyle.
I have two vivid memories. Some memories have been sketchier, but I have two vivid memories from my days with Jesus face to face, or Yeshua. One, the most vivid is that scene on in John where we come in and we get the meal from Jesus and the folks there, Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, my older brother James, me, and the two people not mentioned in the scriptures. There's 7 of us, and there's only 5 mentioned, are Andrew and Matthew. And it's interesting. Andrew, you know, he gets a bad rap for a lot of stuff, but Andrew was on a fishing boat with us because he's a good fisherman. Matthew was just scared. I mean, we were all scared. I mean, it was an era. There's nothing in today's world that's comparable to the cruelty of Rome. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So we were really scared. But the other memory that I have is the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. You know, it was me and Jesus' mother Mary, my mother Salome, 2 other Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary Clophas. But I think something that Christians should always remember is I was only there for him to ask me to take care of his mother because I was a part of his family.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' ministry was basically a family thing. His mother and his brothers and his sisters, you know, 2 of the writers of the Gospels, of the books of the Bible, the book of James, it wasn't written by my older brother James, it was written by Jesus' brother James.
Yeah.
James, the book of Jude, which is a strange little book, was written by one of Jesus' brothers. But it never really, in his lifetime here on earth, it never really extended past his family and a few other people. And the only reason I was there at the cross, I was there to be with my mother and his mother. The only reason he asked me to take care of his mother is to make sure my mother helped in taking care of his mother.
Yep.
We have to remember that at its onset, at its inception, Christianity was obscure. There was no followers, just a few left. I mean, that day on the shores of Lake Tiberias, there was just seven of us. Mm-hmm. And we left Jerusalem. We were scared.
Amen.
And we need to remember, we've got to get ready for the third most important event in human history. The most important event in human history was the creation of Adam. The second most important event in human history was Jesus' birth. Mm-hmm. Well, the third most important event in human history will be when Jesus returns.
Amen.
That's whether it's 9/19/22 or tomorrow. I used to think it was going to be today or whenever. And you can be sure that it will be on his birthday. Amen. That will be the day he returns.
Amen.
Whether I'm right in God's, from God's dream that it's 9/19, he will return on his birthday. Whether it's in 22 or 28 or mm-hmm. 1,000 years from now,
right,
it'll be on his birthday.
Amen.
And I think what we're seeing now, Bob, not only signs in the world, the signs that that concern me the most is the depravity in the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. This is not the church of Jesus Christ. This is the church of something else.
Yeah.
But it is not the eyes and ears and arms and legs of Jesus Christ in the church and in the world as a spiritual life force within us.
Amen.
The church is not that.
Yep. Well, John, once again, we're running up against the clock. I appreciate you coming back on the program and allowing me to share your vision with the listeners all around the world. Now, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or even do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
The easiest thing to do with me, Bob, is go to dazzlinglight.org. That's my website. Everything I have of any importance is written there. Unfortunately, as we talked about before, my publisher went bankrupt, so I've got still have some promotional copies of my books I can give to people, but that's it.
Amen.
And my email address is there on my website, so that's always the best way to get in touch with me.
Amen. Well, folks, there can be no doubt that the events happening all around us right now has been foretold in the Bible, and it's happening just as the church age is wrapping up. I mean, the soon return of Jesus must be right around the corner. So can John Meacham be right? It's possible. It's not only possible, it's highly probable. I mean, current events are pushing us towards the wrap-up of this age. Could it just be a couple more years? Yeah. As John said, could it happen sooner? Yeah, of course. I believe it could be. Could it be later? Well, all we can do is pray and say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But if you like more information on
this... You know, that's what I said. Bob, excuse me. That's what I was praying before we started. That's what I prayed on the earth and stone stage every day. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Yeah.
The amen. Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come.
That's right. Amen. Now, if you want more information on this very important topic, I urge you to get in touch with John Meacham at his website, dazzlinglight.org. Read the articles. The information he's posted there is awesome. Come to your own conclusions, but more importantly, look at his references. Read your Bible. Pray that the Lord would open your eyes and your heart and your mind to the day and time in which we live right now. Allow that to help you in determining if you are living a true Christian life with the promise of an eternal reward, or if there's any doubt, you still have time to get right with the Lord and ask Him to forgive you, to come into your heart and create in you this new man, a new creation, created in His image, and then you'll have the assurance to face whatever the world is going to try and throw at you. Amen. Praise God, John. Again, it was great catching up with you, brother. I thank you for taking the time to come on the program today.
Well, as I've said before, I'm as filled with the Holy Spirit right now as I get. So you definitely bring out the best in me.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. So for John Meach and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.